Hello everybody, it's me, Mr. Tall23, back with another video. It's been quite some time since I've done a video on this channel, a live stream here. Almost, I think, over a year. But anyway, I just have an idea for a series to do, something I want to talk about, something that's been laid on my heart recently. Quickly, I want to check to make sure the sound's working. Okay, it is working. Just had to check my phone. Anyway, so... this series I want to do is a series debunking the false doctrine, the heresy of Calvinism. Calvinism is a false religion that teaches things that are contrary to the Bible concerning salvation, mainly. And so I want to go through and debunk each of the main points of Calvinism and explain all the problems with Calvinism in a multiple part series. First, I want to go through the acronym which Calvinists use called TULIP. T-U-L-I-P, which stands for Total Depravity, Unlimited Atonement. I'm sorry. Total Depravity, Unconditional Election, Limited Atonement, Irresistible Grace, and Perseverance of the Saints. So that's their acronym to explain what they believe. I also want to talk about the dangers of Calvinism and why Calvinism is a dangerous doctrine to believe in later in the series. But for now, I want to focus on, today I want to focus on Total Depravity and explain why that is a false doctrine. So before going into what the Bible says about these things and before refuting it and showing that the Bible clearly teaches that total depravity is false, it's not true, I want to define what that is and explain from the mouth of Calvinists themselves. I'm going to read a few quotes here, what they say total depravity is, and then compare it to what the Word of God says and show you that the Word of God does not teach this doctrine known as total depravity. So what do Calvinists say? What do they define total depravity as? So here's a quote from Ligonier Ministries, which is a common, a popular Calvinist website, a Calvinist ministry. I believe it was founded or run by R.C. Sproul, who is a Calvinist who is now dead. But he's a famous preacher of Calvinism in time past. So in Ligonier Ministries, on the article about total depravity, it says the doctrine of total depravity reflects the Reformed viewpoint of original sin. Now keep that in mind because later I'm going to define what original sin is. So the idea of total and total depravity doesn't mean that all human beings are as wicked as they can possibly be. It means that the fall was so serious that it affects the whole person. The fallenness of that captures and grips our human nature, affects our bodies. That's why we become ill and die. It affects our minds and our thinking. We still have the capacity to think, but the Bible says the mind has become darkened and weakened. The will of man is no longer in its pristine state of moral power. The will, according to the New Testament, is now in bondage. We are enslaved to the evil impulses and desires of our hearts. The body, the mind, the will, the spirit, indeed, the whole person have been infected by the power of sin. So what is required for us to be conformed to the image of Christ is not simply some small adjustments or behavioral modifications, but nothing less than renovation from the inside. We need to be regenerated, to be made over again, to be quickened by the power of the Spirit. The only way in which a person can escape this radical situation is by the Holy Spirit's changing the core, the heart. So that's how Ligonier Ministries would define total depravity. And, you know, a lot of what's said there is technically correct. He talks about how we have a sin nature and all of us is corrupted, but not in the sense that we are as wicked as can possibly be. See, some people have a misunderstanding that Calvinists believe that total depravity means that everybody's as wicked as they can possibly be. And that's not true. And we want to be honest about what they teach and not just, you know, throw straw mans. I'm sure there's probably a Calvinist out there who believes that every unsaved person is a complete, you know, wicked, evil, as wicked as can possibly be kind of person. But the mainstream Calvinists, they believe that total depravity just means that total in the sense of every part of them, every part of mankind, whether it's their mind, their body, every part is affected by this depravity. And they say, you know, we need to be regenerated. We need to be changed. And that's the only way through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way somebody can be changed. And, you know, I would agree with that. But the thing is, what the Calvinists mean by that is something completely different than what the Bible means by that. What they mean is that regeneration precedes faith. So they believe that somebody is regenerated first because God has chosen them before the foundation of the world. God chooses them to be saved, then he regenerates them, he changes them from the inside, and that causes them to believe. So the main problem with total depravity is that Calvinists mean by total depravity, that because of the fact that man is affected by sin, he cannot choose to come to God on his own, and God needs to regenerate him first, and that is false. And we'll see this definition in another quote. This is on the website called Desiring God, which I believe is John Piper's ministry, another famous Calvinist. This article is called Total Depravity Worse Than We Think. And it says, a direct corollary of total depravity is that fallen people cannot rescue themselves from their guilt and depravity. This is an ethical cannot. They cannot because they will not. Okay. So again, Calvinists believe that it is impossible for a believer to come to Christ on their own. Okay. Look what it says here. It says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, cannot receive the revelation of God, cannot submit to the law of God. You know, I agree with that so far, but here's what it says further. Cannot respond of themselves to the grace of God in Christ, and cannot rescue themselves because they are covenantly dead. It requires a radical change, altering the entire bias of the human will in order to respond positively to the gospel, a change that can be brought about only by the Holy Spirit. So he's saying somebody can only respond positively to the gospel. Somebody can only respond to the grace of God if the Holy Spirit changes them first. Okay, so that's what I was talking about Calvinists believing that regeneration precedes faith, that they believe that they believe that God changes somebody's heart first, and then they believe, and then they get saved. Okay. It spells it out even more clearly on the article on total depravity on Theopedia, another website. It says, the doctrine understands the Bible to teach that as a consequence of the fall of man, every person born into the world is morally corrupt, enslaved to sin, and is apart from the grace of God, utterly unable to choose to follow God or choose to turn to Christ in faith for salvation. So that, in a nutshell, is what Calvinists believe in regards to total depravity. The way that they would define that is to say that not only does man have a sin nature, not only is man sinful, but man cannot choose to follow God, cannot choose to turn to Christ for faith and salvation, but God has to regenerate them first. He has to change their mind. He has to change their heart and cause them to believe, basically. So earlier I mentioned the doctrine of original sin and how that also ties in with this concept of total depravity. So original sin, as defined by gotquestions.org, which is another Calvinist website, says the Calvinistic doctrine of original sin states that Adam's sin has resulted not only in our having a sin nature, but also in our incurring guilt before God, for which we deserve punishment. Being conceived with original sin upon us results in our inheriting a sin nature so wicked that Jeremiah 17:9 describes the human heart as deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Not only was Adam found guilty because he sinned, but his sin was imputed to us, making us guilty and deserving of his punishment, death, as well. So this doctrine of original sin, which is also believed by Roman Catholics and the Orthodox Church and all of those groups, basically teaches that not only do we have a sin nature, but we are guilty for the very sin that Adam committed. Okay, so that's what Calvinists believe. And remember, in Ligonier Ministries, they said that ties in with total depravity. Okay, so they don't just believe that we have a sin nature. They believe that everybody born into this world, even newborn babies, even, children who are in the womb, who have been conceived, but who are not, you know, born yet, they believe that those people are already sinners in the eyes of God because they have inherited Adam's sin. And again, I'll show this to be completely false and wrong according to the Bible. The Bible teaches that people are sinners because they have sinned, and we are only guilty because of our sin. So some people will kind of throw out the phrase, you know, original sin. And what they mean by that is just the fact that we have a sin nature. And if that's all they mean by that, then I would agree with them. But when the Catholics and the Calvinists and all these other groups talk about original sin, what they mean is believing that Adam's sin, what he did in transgressing of, you know, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we are guilty for that, and we are already dead the moment that we are conceived. That's what he says right here. He says, being conceived with original sin upon us. So he says that as soon as you're conceived, you're already a sinner, results in our inheriting a sin nature so wicked that Jeremiah 17:9 describes the human heart as deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Then he says, not only was Adam found guilty because he sinned, but his sin was imputed to us, making us guilty and deserving of his punishment, death as well. So he's the writer of this article on gotquestions.org, again, a Calvinist website, is flat out saying that when we are conceived, we're already deserving of death. Okay. So in short, based on all these, you know, quotations and all these explanations and definitions of total depravity given by Calvinists themselves, total depravity is the doctrine that not only is man a sinner by nature, but man is guilty himself of Adam's sin and is already dead in his sin and cannot come to God on his own, but God needs to regenerate him first and basically cause him to believe in order to be saved. And this, of course, leads into all the other false doctrines of Calvinism, like unconditional election, which we'll talk about in the next video, where they believe that God has chosen who will be saved and who will be damned based on his own sovereign will. So it's up to God of who is regenerated. It's up to God of who receives that faith, okay? But basically, God has to pick them, according to Calvinists. God has to pick the elect to be saved, and he regenerates them, and he does all the work before somebody believes in Jesus. So for them, faith in Jesus is more of a result of being chosen by God or being elected or being saved by God than an actual condition, because, you know, they believe election is unconditional, hence the phrase unconditional election. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll talk about that more later. So anyway, I just want to make it clear that the Bible does teach that we are sinful by nature and we're all sinners, but the Bible does not teach that we are totally depraved in the sense that the Calvinists teach. You know, the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, Ecclesiastes 7:20. So I would have no quarrel or disagreement with anybody who says we're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. It says also in Romans 8:6, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So the carnal mind, the flesh that we have, the Bible says it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know, I have no disagreement with somebody who says that we cannot submit our flesh to the will of God, to what God says, to his commandments, okay? That is something I agree with. We are all sinners. We are sinners by nature. But another thing that the Bible points out is that we are condemned and we are guilty, not because of Adam's sin, not because of this fictitious original sin that these Calvinists teach, but because of our own sin. See, we have inherited only a sin nature from Adam, but we did not inherit Adam's sin itself. We did not have Adam's sin imputed unto us. The Bible teaches this very clearly. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So why did death pass upon all men, according to the Bible? Because all have sinned, okay? According to the Calvinists, death has passed upon all men because Adam sinned, because somebody is conceived in the womb as a sinner. That is false. That's not what the Bible says. Until somebody commits sin themselves, they are innocent, okay? A newborn baby or a child that dies in the womb is not going to go to hell for their sins because they have not sinned yet, okay? They are not guilty. They did not inherit Adam's sin. And, you know, some people don't like this, but this is what the Bible teaches. And I don't know why somebody would be against this doctrine, but this is clearly what the Bible says, that newborn infants and people at a young age who do not know the difference between right and wrong, they are not condemned, okay? They have not sinned yet. They are not guilty. They are not going to hell if they die, okay? If a newborn baby dies, or somebody, a baby dies in the womb, maybe because of a miscarriage or abortion or something like that, they will not go to hell. They will go to heaven because they have not yet sinned. The Bible says death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So people are only going to die and go to hell because of their own sin, not because of Adam's sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So Paul says, there was a time when I was alive without the law, and when the commandment came, so there was a time when he didn't have the commandment, when he didn't have the law, when the law came, when the commandment came, he says, sin revived and I died. So was Paul conceived as somebody who was dead inheriting Adam's sin? No. Okay. When he sinned, that's when he died. That's what he says. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Now, again, Calvinists teach with this false doctrine of original sin that somebody's already born dead and they're already condemned no matter what. But Paul clearly teaches that there was a time when he was alive without the law. And when the commandment came, sin revived and he died. Okay, he says that sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived him and slew him. Okay, so there is a point when somebody is alive, but they have not yet died in their trespasses and sins. Okay, that's talking about before the age of accountability, before knowing the difference between right and wrong. Okay, the Bible clearly teaches that we are not guilty for our parents' sin. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for their own sin. So the Calvinists again teach that, oh, well, we're all going to hell and we are all condemned because of Adam's sin, because of this doctrine of original sin that we have inherited Adam's sin and it has been imputed unto us. That's false. The Bible says people will only be put to death for their own sins. It says in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Just like we saw in Romans 5, 12. Why do people die? Because they have sinned. Not because of what Adam did, but because we have sinned. We've inherited his sin nature because we're the same race as him. We sin like he did, but we are guilty for our own sins. It continues. It says, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So the Bible clearly tells us that the son will not bear the iniquity of his father. Okay. So Seth, the son of Adam, did not bear the iniquity of Adam. Okay. And Enos did not bear the iniquity of Seth or Adam, and so on. Okay. Because the son does not bear the iniquity of his father. The son is not put to death for his father's sins. The Bible teaches that very clearly, okay? So this idea that we are condemned, we are guilty, and we are ourselves sinners because of what Adam did, that's false, okay? We are sinners, and we are going to hell because of the fact of what we have done, because of the fact that we are all sinners. See, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Okay, so why do we die? Because of our own sin, because of what we have done, because we've broken the commandments, not because Adam broke one commandment. Okay, so the Bible clearly teaches that David's child was in heaven. Okay, we already saw these clear scriptures that people are only condemned for their own sin. They do not inherit their father's sin. And also the Bible tells us in Romans 7 that there was a time when Paul was alive before the commandment came, before he realized the difference between right and wrong, before he realized, you know, what the law was. Before that, he says he was alive. But when the commandment came, he says, sin revived and I died. So that's why it says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22 to 23, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So it seems to me like David was not a Calvinist, because he's saying, I'm going to go to my son who died. You know, this young child who died as a punishment from God. He says that I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Right? I don't think anybody would argue that David went to heaven. David didn't go to hell. Okay, so David obviously didn't believe this foolish doctrine that babies when they die are going to go to hell. Okay, babies when they die will all go to heaven because they have not yet sinned, because God is just and God condemns us for our sin. Okay, he doesn't condemn us because of what somebody else did. That's ridiculous. Okay, so there's that aspect of original sin, which again is completely false. But then another aspect of total depravity, like I said, is this idea that regeneration precedes faith, that Calvinists believe that man is totally depraved in the sense that God has to do the work in drawing man to him and has to regenerate him before he can believe. So they have the order all wrong. The Bible teaches that if we believe, decide to believe in Jesus Christ, put our trust in Jesus, then we are saved, then we are regenerated. Okay, but they believe, no, it's impossible for man to do that, to make that choice, because man is totally depraved. So God chooses who's going to be saved, and then he goes to that person who he has chosen as his elect, and he regenerates them from the inside. He changes their heart and then causes them to believe because he has made a change within them. Okay, So the Bible teaches faith and then you're born again. They believe you're born again and then you have faith as a result of being born again. That's not what the Bible says. And they'll use a verse like this, John 6:44, to prove that. They'll say, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. So they'll say, they'll look at that and they'll say, well, see, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So God chooses certain people to draw to him, and those are the only people that come to him. Now, first of all, I want to point out that when it says no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody who's drawn by God is going to come to him. It just means that you need to be drawn to God to come to him. Okay, so they believe in this doctrine called irresistible grace. Again, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but this will be a few videos later. But they believe that once God has chosen somebody and chooses to give the grace to them to be saved, basically, you know, that person has no power to resist that. If God chooses you to be saved, you're going to become one of God's elect no matter what, is what they say. But it just says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, which means that the drawing has to take place before somebody can come to him, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to come to Jesus to get saved. Okay. That just means they have the ability now that the Father has drawn them, but they have a complete misunderstanding of what that means of the Father drawing them, because they think that this means that God chooses certain people to, you know, come to Christ to be regenerated. Right. Even though it says in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That's what Jesus said. So according to Jesus, when he died on the cross, that drew all men unto him. That's why it says in John 1:9, it says about Jesus, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So this enlightening, this drawing unto God, according to the Bible, is to everybody. It's not just to certain people who God chooses and predestines. It's for everybody. Now, another thing that the Calvinists ignore is the context of John 6:44. You know, they'll constantly just quote this verse, and this is like one of their favorite verses to try to prove their doctrine. They'll just quote verse 44 just constantly. They'll say, see, look, you need to be drawn by God in order to come to Jesus. And again, I would not disagree with that, because that's what it clearly says, that you need to be drawn by him. But the thing is, their interpretation or their understanding of what it means to be drawn by him is not correct. And we know this by the context. It says in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Okay, who? All shall be taught of God, right? Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Okay, so he defines what he means when he talks about the Father drawing people to Christ. He says they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So somebody comes to Christ after hearing of God, okay, and being taught of God, the Bible says. So when it's talking about being drawn to him, it's talking about preaching the word of God. And this is consistent with the rest of the Bible, because what the Bible tells us in multiple other places is that the word of God is necessary for somebody to be saved. See, there's not just a magical point in somebody's life where they just get enlightened and they just become saved out of nowhere. Some Calvinists believe that some people could just get saved in their sleep, and that's when they're regenerated and they choose to believe in Christ. But no, the Bible teaches that somebody clearly needs to hear the gospel in order to come to Christ, in order to believe in him. So that is what it means to be drawn to God. They are drawn through the preaching of his word. See, I would agree with somebody who says that somebody cannot come to Christ on their own with no spiritual help whatsoever. I do not believe that somebody can just read the Bible and understand it and get saved from that. That is false. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that, what does it say? I should know this verse. Let me just pull it up. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man, they cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto him. They cannot receive them, they are spiritually discerned. So somebody cannot understand the things of the Bible on their own without the Spirit of God. So that is why there needs to be a soul winner who is preaching the gospel for somebody to be saved. Okay. But, you know, again, Calvinists believe that that just means that, you know, nothing man can do. You know, it has to be 100% God changing their heart. God just decides one day to regenerate them, and that causes them to believe. But rather, the Bible teaches that they are drawn through the preaching of God's word. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is there a, looks like there might be a connection problem. No. Okay. So the Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So somebody hears the word of God, and that is when they can believe. Okay, because it says in the context there a few verses earlier, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except it be sent? So somebody believes in Jesus when a preacher goes to them and preaches them the word of God. That is when the Bible says they now have the ability to believe in Jesus and call on his name. So again, I would agree with the belief that somebody cannot just read the Bible and get saved on their own. But when the Bible talks about God drawing man to him, that is through the preaching of God's word. Okay. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 20, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ said, be reconciled to God. So when somebody has the ministry of reconciliation, they have the gospel to preach, and they go to somebody who is lost, and they preach to them. Okay, the Bible says that that person is an ambassador of Christ, and they are, speaking in Christ's stead, in the stead of God, saying, be ye reconciled to God. So that's the job of somebody who goes out to preach the gospel. They come with the word of God. They preach the word of God. If the person they are preaching to hears it and they believes it, that's when they're saved. So it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 23 to 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So again, the Bible says that we are born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, and defines what that is. It says the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And it says, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So again, a preacher of the gospel preaches the word of God. That is what causes faith, according to Romans 10, 17. When somebody believes the word of God or hears the word of God, that's when they have the choice to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, but notice how it says in verse 23 that this is when they're born again. So we are born again by the word of God, and it's the word of God which was preached unto us, okay? Now, keep that in mind and compare this with Ephesians 1, verse 12 to 14. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So again, Calvinists have this all backwards and all wrong. They'll say, well, first, it's the Holy Ghost that comes to an unsaved person and regenerates them and causes them to be born again, and then they believe and they get saved. But the Bible teaches that, no, it's somebody who goes to them with the word of God, and they're preaching the word of God, okay? And if somebody believes based on that preaching, after they hear the word of truth, that is when they are sealed with the Holy Ghost, and that is when they are born again, okay? Compare 1 Peter 1 to Ephesians chapter 1 here. It says we are born again by the word of God, and this is the word of God which was preached unto you. The Bible says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So first somebody hears the word of truth, then they believe, then they trust Christ. So if we're born again by the word of God, somebody isn't born again until they hear the word of truth and they believe in it, okay? That's the order of things according to Ephesians chapter 1. They hear the word of truth, and then they believe, and then they're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. They become born again, okay? So regeneration does not precede faith. Regeneration comes after faith, okay? So what it talks about when the Bible talks about man being drawn to God, it clearly defines it in verse 45 of John 6, saying that that is being taught of God, being taught of the Father, hearing what the Father has to say. Okay. When somebody preaches the word of God, okay, somebody has a choice to accept it or to reject it. And the Bible says that when you hear the word of truth and you believe it and you trust in Christ, that is when you are born again. That is when you're regenerated. That's when you're sealed with the Holy Ghost. Okay. So that's what the Bible teaches. That's also in John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, a very clear verse explaining that regeneration does not precede faith. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So to become a child of God, it says, even to them that believe on his name, as many as received him. So you have to receive him, believe on his name, and that's when you're born of God. You become a child of God. Another clear verse on that is Galatians 3:26. It says, for you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So you become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, okay, by faith in Christ Jesus. It's not the other way around. It's not you become a child of God and then as a result of being chosen by God and you know, being a child and being born again, as a result of that, you believe. No, you believe and then you become a child of God. So yeah, it's our free will to receive the gospel. It's not something that God forces us to do by regenerating and changing our heart. We have the free will to do that. Okay. This idea that we're so depraved that we cannot choose to believe in God is false. Now, I would agree we cannot do that without the preaching of the Bible. Okay. The Bible is what causes us to have faith according to Romans 10:17. Somebody cannot believe in Jesus if the Bible is not preached. Okay. But once the Bible is preached, once the ambassadors for Christ come and say, you know, be reconciled to God, once that happens, somebody has the free will to accept or reject the gospel. They don't need to be changed in their heart first. They believe in Jesus, and then that's when they're regenerated, okay? Bible says, Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So it's the will of man that decides to take that water of life, okay? It's whosoever will. The Calvinists don't believe whosoever will. They believe that God has to change you first. They believe that you don't have the desire. You don't have the will. It's not possible for an unregenerate sinner to believe in Christ. That's false. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this is a very clear verse that tells us that we are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. And this is a verse which Calvinists sometimes will even use, and they will twist it to say, well, faith is the gift of God. Faith is something that God gives you, okay? That's not true, because the Bible tells us very clearly what the gift is in other passages. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So salvation, having eternal life, that is a gift that God gives us, okay? Faith is not the gift. Faith is what you need to get the gift, okay? That's why it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, the same man should boast, okay? It's not saying faith is not of works, because that doesn't, you know, that's a pretty obvious statement there. That would be no reason to say that. It's just saying that salvation is not of works when it says not of works. So when it says it is the gift of God, it's talking about salvation. It's talking about receiving that grace of having eternal life. It says in Romans chapter 5, verses 15 to 18, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. So what is the gift? Righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So when God gives us justification, when God gives us righteousness, the Bible says that is the gift. So eternal life, salvation, being justified in the sight of God, that's the free gift that God gives unto us. So God doesn't give us the faith. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It is up to the individual to choose to believe in Jesus. Okay. When they put their faith in Christ after hearing the word of God, that's when they get saved. It's not they have to have their hearts regenerated first and God gives them that faith. That's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. So another thing I want to talk about in regards to Calvinism is a major contradiction or error in their beliefs in regards to total depravity. Also, I mentioned earlier when I was reading through the definition of what total depravity was on Ligonier Ministries website, they explained that total depravity does not mean that man is as wicked as can possibly be. And they will commonly say this. They'll say, well, you know, we believe that man is depraved in all aspects of his life, but we don't believe that man is as wicked as can possibly be. Okay. That's what they say. So they would sometimes agree with saying, you know, even an unsaved person could do some morally good things, right? Now, there are some Calvinists who are kind of on the far end of the spectrum who deny reality and believe that it's not possible for any unsaved person to do anything good, which of course is false. It's possible for unsaved people to do good and do good things, but the Bible clearly tells us that good works don't get us to heaven, so it makes no difference. But the thing is, Calvinists believe in this doctrine called reprobation. And anybody who watches my channel, you know I believe in this concept of a reprobate, which is taught in the Bible. But when Calvinists talk about reprobates and reprobation, they mean something different. To a Calvinist, a reprobate is just anybody who has not been chosen by God to be saved. So remember, they believe that everybody in mankind is already condemned and damned to hell because they've inherited Adam's sin and there's nothing they can do about it. But God chooses certain people, the elect, to be saved, and everybody else who is not the elect, because they will for sure go to hell because God hasn't chosen them, they would call them reprobates. So here's a definition of reprobation from the mouth of a Calvinist on the website The Gospel Coalition, which is another Calvinist website. It says, reprobation is the Augustinian/Reformed doctrine that God has eternally decreed to refrain from extending saving grace to particular individuals and to judge them according to the strict standards of divine justice. So basically, he says, those people who God has not shown saving grace to, those people who God has not elected to be saved, those people are all reprobates. Now, the reason why I explain that this is a contradiction in Calvinism is because Calvinists say that not every unbeliever is as wicked as could possibly be, yet they believe that every unbeliever is a reprobate. But you know what? The Bible tells us that reprobates are as wicked as can possibly be, okay? So either a Calvinist has to deny reality and say that every unsaved person is as wicked as can possibly be and is just, you know, filled with all unrighteousness, as the Bible says about reprobates. Either they deny reality or they deny the Bible or both. Okay, because here's what the Bible says about reprobates. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, for the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So this is what a reprobate is according to the Bible. The Bible says they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They've tried to change the truth of God into a lie. It talks about how they're sodomites. They're filled with all unrighteousness. It says that they hate God. Okay, Now, a Calvinist says that anybody who has not been chosen by God, so anybody who's not elect, anybody who's unsaved, they're a reprobate. The Bible clearly tells us that reprobates, they hate God. They don't even want to think about God. They're filled with all unrighteousness, okay? Murder, debate, malignity, enmity, adultery, fornication, all these things, right? Is that what the common unsaved person is like in this world? No, and of course, everybody is a sinner. Everybody does wrong things, but not everybody is filled with all unrighteousness. Not everybody hates God. And again, to say that all unbelievers hate God would be a denial of reality, okay? Before I got saved, I didn't hate God, okay? I considered myself a believer in the Bible. Now, I didn't consider myself a Christian because I was in the Hebrew roots nonsense, but back then I didn't hate God, okay? People before they're saved do not hate God. Somebody who's a reprobate does not hate God. If there's somebody out there there's a lot of people out there in the world who are not saved and will never be saved, who are part of false religions, but they might have respect for Jesus or respect for the Bible, and they're not against it. They just don't know what the gospel is. They don't know how to be saved. So they're trusting in themselves, they're trusting in their works or something like that. You know, that doesn't mean that they hate God or that they don't want to retain him in their knowledge or they're filled with all unrighteousness. That just means that they're your typical unsaved sinner. So again, Calvinists deny reality by, or they just don't believe the Bible, where the Bible clearly says that reprobates are filled with all unrighteousness. Okay. There's another scripture about reprobates. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2-8, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, they say that everybody who's not, you know, a believer is a reprobate. The Bible tells us about reprobates. It says from such turn away. So for Calvinists, you know, they want us to turn away from every unsaved person. Maybe that's why they don't go soul winning, even though the Bible commands us to. It says in verse 6, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." So according to Calvinists, you know, all reprobates are rapists. Okay. They just creep into people's houses and, you know, like, what the heck? "Ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Now, another thing I want to point out is that both of these passages I've read so far clearly explain that it is the fault of that person why they have become a reprobate. Okay. And it tells us that first, they did not want to retain God, their knowledge. First, they changed the truth of God into a lie. They started worshiping idols and the creature more than the creator. First, they, you know, wanted to do all this uncleanness, and they were not thankful, and they wanted to deny God, and they wanted to put God out of their mind. First, they resisted the truth. So it's them doing the resisting, and it's them resisting the truth, going against God, hating God, and then God gives them over to reprobate mind. But according to Calvinists, anybody in this world who's not been chosen by God is just automatically a reprobate because they're damned to hell and there's nothing they can do about it. Okay. That is not what the Bible says about reprobates. Okay. Not every unsaved person is a reprobate because not every unsaved person resists the truth and has no hope for ever being saved. Okay. People become reprobates because of what it tells us in Romans 1. They do that. They don't want to retain God, their knowledge, that they change the truth of God into a lie, that they profess themselves to be wise, they become fools, they change the, what does it say? I don't want to quote it wrong. It says they, that they're, they became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened, they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So basically, somebody who knows the true God, who knows the truth about the Bible, and they reject that, either through blasphemy of the Holy Ghost or trying to corrupt God's word, like the Bible says in Revelation 22, that somebody who takes from the word of God, their name will be taken out of the book of life. Okay. So those are the people who are reprobates, people who are just your regular unsaved people who reject the truth, change the truth, resist the truth. It's not just everybody born into this world, like the Calvinists teach. That's false. It says also in 2 Peter chapter 2, which is about false prophets, it says in verse 20, "For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had not been better for them to have known the way For it had been better for them to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So these false prophets, according to the Bible, they know about Jesus Christ. They know about the truth. And then they turn from it. They turn from the commandment to believe on him. Okay. So again, it's them rejecting God and then God rejects them. They believe that God has rejected them first because God has chosen them to be damned for the foundation of the world. But no, it's somebody makes the decision to reject God and to hate God and resist the truth, as it says in 2 Timothy 3, that's when they become a reprobate, okay? So not every unsaved person is a reprobate. So Soul H here says, they say that even a child is depraved. That's total BS. And yes, I agree with that because, as I explained earlier, you know, they believe this original sin garbage that every person ever conceived automatically is a sinner and inherits the sin of Adam. And so they believe, and obviously, you know, some Calvinists might kind of be a little bit softer on this, but if somebody's a true 5-point Calvinist and are really into, you know, these beliefs, then they would believe that children who die in the womb go to hell unless they're one of God's elect. You know, they just didn't get a chance to believe yet, but maybe God already, chose them or whatever. But they believe that children are already condemned, are already going to hell because they're already sinners. The Bible clearly says that until somebody actually sins, they're not a sinner and they're not going to hell. Okay. So in summary, Calvinism teaches that we're all sinners. We all have a sin nature, but not only that, we all are guilty for Adam's sin. We are condemned to hell for Adam's sin. And we do not have the ability to believe in Jesus with our own will, but God has to regenerate us first, and regeneration precedes faith. They also believe that every unsaved person is a reprobate, and because of that, they are just automatically condemned to hell because God didn't choose them. The Bible says that, yes, everybody is a sinner and everybody has a sin nature, but that's about it. That's the only thing that's right from that definition of total depravity. The Bible clearly teaches that children will go to heaven when they die because they have not sinned yet. Every man is put to death for his own sin. Every man is condemned for their own sin. We do not bear the iniquity of our fathers. Sin is not passed down through generations. People are not guilty for the sin of their ancestors. Okay, the Bible clearly teaches that. The Bible also teaches that we do have the free will to accept or reject Christ, but the only condition is that somebody has to show them the word of God first. See, the Bible tells us we are drawn to Christ through the preaching of God's word, of being taught of God. Once somebody hears the Bible preached, they hear what the Bible says, they hear the gospel from the word of God, then they have their choice to accept or reject Christ. Okay. They do not have to be regenerated first, but rather the Bible clearly explains that first they hear the word of truth, then they trust in Christ, then they are regenerated. They're born again. Okay. Somebody becomes a child of God when they believe what the Bible says about salvation. They believe in the gospel based on what's preached to them from the word of God. Okay, so that's the order. Somebody goes and they preach the Bible, and then somebody hears it, they believe it, and then they are born again. The Calvinist believes, no, everybody cannot, nobody can believe in Jesus on their own. They have to be regenerated first, and then based on that, then they believe as a result of being regenerated. So they have it completely backwards. They have it completely wrong. So that's it for the video today. I'm going to try and do these every once in a while. I don't know how often. I'll maybe do another one within the next few days or so. The next one on unconditional election, which is also another clear false doctrine from Calvinism. And hopefully I'll be able to go through every one of the points of TULIP and refute all of them. I hope this one is pretty clear. I try to explain it to the best of my ability. If you have any questions, feel free to ask questions in the comments. But, I mean, the Bible clearly tells us that Paul was alive without the law once, and then when sin came, he revived and he died. You can't get around that. The Bible clearly teaches that the son will not bear the iniquity of his father. The Bible clearly teaches that David's child was in heaven, okay, even though he died young, okay? And David knew that. David was not a Calvinist. The Bible clearly teaches that the drawing it's talking about in John chapter 6 is being taught of God. And when you compare spiritual with spiritual, which is what you're supposed to do when you interpret the Bible explains that the necessary factor for somebody believing is the preaching of the word of God. That's what it's talking about. It's not just certain people are picked to be drawn to God just magically in their sleep or just whenever. No, when somebody hears the word of God, that's when they're drawn to God. But that opportunity is to everybody because he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And it says that he is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But Calvinists don't believe that. They believe that he only lightens some people. Okay. So they don't believe John chapter 1, verse 9, which clearly says every man that cometh into the world. Okay. So there's that. The Bible clearly teaches that somebody's born again, they become a child of God when they believe in Jesus, not before they believe in Jesus. It's not, faith is not a result of regeneration. Faith is the, it's what's required for regeneration. Okay. And the Bible clearly teaches that reprobates are filled with all unrighteousness, and not everybody's a reprobate, only those who hate God and rejected them in their hearts. Okay. So it's up to somebody, their personal choices of rejecting God, blaspheming the Holy Ghost, that's when they become a reprobate. It's not just everybody who God has chosen. Okay. As we'll see in the next video, God does not choose certain people to be saved and certain people to be damned. Okay. And I'll expose this false doctrine of Calvinistic predestination, explain what predestination actually means according to the Bible, and explain that the Bible clearly teaches that election is based on a condition, and that condition is somebody's personal faith in Jesus Christ. So thank you, buddy, for watching. God bless you, and goodbye.